Morning. This time I'd like to call the Illinois State Tollway Highway Audit Committee meeting to order for December 10th, 2014. Can I have a roll call?
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Committee Chair Gonzalez?
Here.
Director Wisner? Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Moving on to item number three, public comment. I didn't receive anything, so we'll go right on to item number four. Number one, we have the approval of the minutes for the audit committee that was held on August 20, 2014. At this time, I'd like a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Number two, no additional items. So go on to number five with the additional items under audit. We have our external auditors, KPMG, to go over the external audit plan, give a little bit of brief who they are, what the team is, and what they plan to do in the audit. So at this time, I'd like to call them up and so they give the presentation.
Yes, please.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to present this morning. My name is Kathy Bauman. I'm the audit partner with KPMG, and I've been serving the tollway over the course of the last 3 or so years that we've been doing the audit through the Office of the Auditor General. So as a reminder, we're contracted as special assistant auditors to the Office of the Auditor General, who's charged with doing the audit of the tollway authority. So we've presented our audit plan. I think hard copies have been provided to the committee members for review. And I'm going to start on page three of the audit plan, which is our engagement team. And our engagement team is consistent from the prior year engagement team, so we've got continuity at all levels of the engagement overall. So I'll be continuing as the audit engagement partner. We have a second partner who does quality control review of all the deliverables, as well as key decisions that are made throughout the audit process. And then we have other individuals that support the audit, including specialists with respect to some of the IT testing we do, review of the derivatives and other, really the interest rate swap agreements that the tollway has, as well as other actuaries who are involved in our conduct of our audit. But we have continuity at all levels of the engagement team, which should be helpful in continuing to get through the audit in a timely manner. On slide five, we have the objectives of the audit. So just as a reminder, with respect to our audit, there are two main components that we have. We have the financial statement audit, which is performed in accordance with both the AICPA professional standards as well as government auditing standards. And we also have the state compliance examination, which is required by the Illinois State Auditing Act. And that's performed also in accordance with government auditing standards. So we have both of those things that we're doing as part of our audit. With respect to the financial statement audit, although we consider internal control as part of our procedures, we are not giving an opinion on internal control, but we do have a responsibility under professional standards to gain an understanding of the processes with respect to key areas within the financial statements, as well as determine whether we want to test controls in those areas. To the extent something comes to our attention through this process, we have certain requirements to present to you anything we determine to be a material weakness or significant deficiency, and we also communicate control deficiencies that may occur. Our test work, because it's not an audit of internal control, doesn't necessarily mean that we'll find everything that's a material weakness or a significant deficiency, but based upon the procedures we do, we will communicate anything that comes across in our audit process. Also, as part of performing the audit, we do perform a number of substantive tests of details with respect to various areas and key information within the financial statements, as well from a state compliance examination. We're doing a lot of tests of details of transactions, as well as other requirements or compliance requirements that the tollway has to follow. On pages 7, 8, and 9, we've got the responsibilities. These are relatively consistent with what we've presented to you in the past, but just as a reminder, management is responsible overall for the fair presentation of the financial statements, for selecting accounting policies, applying those accounting policies, preparing the financial statements, complying with laws and regulations. So those are all things that are the requirements of and establishing internal control. Those are all things that the tollway is required to and is responsible for. The audit committee on page 8 is responsible for the overall oversight of the overall financial reporting process, as well as overseeing the controls that are in place with respect to what the tollway has implemented. So it's really a role of oversight. But both the audit committee as well as tollway management are responsible for ensuring that the appropriate tone is set within the organization and that individuals involved in all processes within the tollway know to do the right thing the right way, things of that nature. Our audit doesn't relieve anyone of their responsibilities with respect to those items. But we also have responsibilities as the auditors, and those are identified on page 9. We will be giving an opinion on the financial statements, so we'll be responsible for designing our audit to make sure it complies with professional standards, as well as conducting our audit in accordance with those professional standards and evaluating, as I mentioned, internal control to the extent it impacts significant audit areas. We also have certain communication requirements, one of which we're completing today with respect to walking through what our plan is from an audit perspective. And we'll also make additional communications at the conclusion of our audit, as well as formal written conclusions that we may have with respect to internal control matters and obviously the issuance of our overall opinion. One other thing to note on page 10, there is other information included in the financial statements, including the management's discussion and analysis and a number of schedules. Our responsibility with respect to those items is clearly identified within the auditor's report. To the extent that the other information is included in the report, we in some cases will do in relation to, or will issue an in relation to a report. So really we're looking at that information in relation to the financial statements. So it's at the same level or the high level of the financial statement review and materiality. In other cases such as MD&A, those things are not audited as part of the financial statements, but we still do look to make sure that there's nothing inconsistent with the financial statements, as that's part of our responsibilities. On page 12, we have the overall audit approach and the methodology that we use. So we've got four phases to the audit. The first is engagement setup, which we're about completed with at this point, which is really where we're contracting with the Auditor General's office, as well as developing our audit plan as part of that process. Then we move to the risk assessment phase, which is about where we're at now, where we've started doing some of our risk assessments, and we'll continue through the early part of field work to make sure that we're identifying any risks within the financial statements and appropriately designing procedures and considering controls, et cetera, as considered necessary. Then we move to the testing phase. The testing phase is where we're doing a lot of substantive testing as well as control testing. So that's usually all throughout the field work time. And then finally, completion phase, which is when we're really performing our final analytical reviews, doing our overall conclusions with respect to the audit procedures. Moving to page 14, we've got the preliminary risk assessments that we've made based upon our initial considerations. And really the risks that we've identified are consistent with the prior year. Those relate to the overall economic conditions, credit market considerations, as well as revenue and receivables. There is a presumed fraud risk factor with respect to revenue that we consider as part of our audit procedures, as well as there's a presumed fraud risk factor with respect to management override of internal controls, and those are directly included in the professional standards. So it's something we always consider regardless of the audit. Doesn't necessarily mean it's always a fraud risk factor, but it is. There's a rebuttable presumption that there will be a risk factor in those areas. With respect to our audit plan and the timing, on page 16 we've got our overall timing, which our entrance conference occurred in early September. September 3rd was the date of our entrance conference. We've done some preliminary field work, walkthroughs of processes that we've been doing over the course of the last probably 3 to 4 weeks here. And our final field work will begin towards the end of January and extend pretty much through late May with our plan, as it has been in the past, in which we, I think, achieved last year pretty well, issuance of the final report and completion, exit conference, et cetera, all occurring in the June timeframe. On page 17, we have some considerations around materiality. As part of our audit procedures, our audit is designed to give reasonable assurance, which is not 100% or absolute assurance with respect to the financial statements, but we designed our audit to ensure that anything that would be what we consider a material misstatement is identified through the audit procedures, whether that's caused by error or fraud. As part of our consideration in determining materiality, we consider a number of quantitative measures with respect to the financial statements, but we also look at qualitative measures. And there may be instances where, although something may not appear to be quantitatively material, because it affects the views of a user of the financial statements, we may consider it to be material despite the dollar amounts involved. So that's all part of our consideration overall of materiality. It's both quantitative and qualitative. On page 18, we've kind of got our timeline again, a little bit more information on when we'll be doing things with respect to the audit. So as I mentioned, we've completed a lot of our setup procedures at this point and thinking about our audit plan and putting that forth. We're continuing to meet with management to make sure that we understand what's gone on this year with the tollway through the end of the fiscal year and making sure that we're considering those things as part of our plan. Ultimately, we'll be performing all of our procedures, as I mentioned, later this winter through the spring time frame, in conclusion by the end of June at the latest. On page 19, just some other things to think about as we perform our audit. There are a number of things that we'll be discussing with management, and usually I'll meet with the chair of the audit committee during the audit process to make sure that we've taken into consideration any other concerns this committee has, whether it's with respect to internal control or areas of focus for our audit procedures. So we'll be continuing those procedures as well. And then on slide 20, just as a note, we do use a minority subcontractor as part of our engagement for the tollway audit. And that, again, will be EC Ortiz and Company. And the team members from EC Ortiz will be consistent as they have been over the past several years as well. On page 22, we've got some of the new accounting pronouncements. Some of these are more forward-looking, so they're really not applicable until maybe 2015 or so. The two that are applicable for this year relate to GASB 69, government combinations and disposal of government operations. Based on our preliminary read of the statement and our original entrance conference, I don't necessarily think that this is going to be applicable, but we'll consider that as it is required to be adopted this year. And with respect to GASB statement number 70, accounting for and financial reporting for non-financial guarantees, again, don't believe that this will be material to the financial statements, but we'll, as we go through the audit, make sure that that's still the case. And then the other two statements really relate to pensions, which are applicable next year with respect to the liabilities that I think are still being determined from a plan level within the state. So stay tuned on that, but that's really a fiscal 15 item for the tollway. The last few things I have for you with respect to independence, KPMG does, as the independent auditor, have to be independent of the tollway, so we have a number of safeguards that we have in place with respect to work that we may do with the state as well as the tollway. Which really we don't do any, when we're engaged as your auditors, we don't do any other audit work, and that's part of the Auditor General's viewpoint on things. So, but in the event, because we are a global firm and sometimes things may be done by different offices, we do have a system in place to make sure that anything that we would be doing from an other services type standpoint or even other assurance services does come through me as the lead engagement partner, to make sure that service wouldn't present a conflict from an independent standpoint. So we do have safeguards in place for that. And on slide 25, I've noted that we continue to believe that we meet the independent standards as they're identified both in the AICPA standards as well as government auditing standards.
On slide 24, can you just quickly talk about the partner rotation, since you kept talking about the continuity?
Sure. Partner rotation requirements, we are unaware of the tollway having any specific requirements for earlier rotation, but the firm's policy is after 10 years. Now, the Auditor General's office usually rotates their audits after six, so mm-hmm. It generally is not an issue.
We do have a 10-year rotation policy for non-public clients, and we believe that that's appropriate amount of time for a partner to serve and not have an independence issue. But after that point in time, they have to go off the engagement for at least a two-year period to ensure that
fresh eyes.
There's fresh eyes and nothing further of concern.
Thank you.
And then in Section 9 or on Slide 27, just some additional information. This is, again, a benefit that's available to you as part of our engagement with the Auditor General's Office. KPMG does have some pretty extensive information available to you through our Audit Committee Institute, whether it's regular publications or webcasts or other things for you to attend that gives you some background on governance and other things that might be helpful to you in your role here with the tollway or other things that you may do outside of here. So that was what I had from an audit plan perspective. I'm happy to answer any other questions that you might have.
Any questions? Just curious, I know that GASB 68 with the pension won't affect us in 14, but it will have an effect us on 50? Does it seem like it's going to affect our liability?
Well, it will reflect how we report essentially liabilities of the state employees retirement system. It appears that, although we haven't received a final determination, it appears that we will be reporting a portion of those liabilities on our statements.
But we don't expect that until even the, because it's effective on the beginning of midterm, I think, in 15. So it won't affect us for this audit, though.
It may impact the state's audit.
And would you think they would probably give us our portion that they feel that it would be our responsibility?
Maybe an allocation at that point, right, as they are in session.
And because we did it earlier, if you're not, they're going to have to do some special disclosures on the 27th, I believe, but we don't have to.
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks. moving on, we have our presentation of the 2-year audit plan from our internal control staff, Sandra.
Good morning. This morning, as a part of the internal audit update, I'm going to be covering a few items that you see here listed on the agenda. One will be to go through the internal audit background, the current state of internal audit resources. We'll look at the charter for internal audit, as well as our most recent peer review that was conducted the latter part of September. We'll talk about the construction practices audit that was conducted during 2014 and also a portion of 2013. We'll look at the risk assessment process, which then led us to our internal audit plan for both 2015 and 2016, where we'll be seeking approval from the audit committee, as well as just a refresher on the audit committee schedule for 2015. Internal audit performs its activities in conformance with FISA, as well as internal audit standards, the code of ethics of the IIA, also in compliance with the State Internal Audit Advisory Board, and then also with the generally accepted government auditing standards. Currently, our internal audit resources include a headcount of 6. Internal audit is actually broken into 2 sections. It consists of both internal audit and information technology audit. Each section provides audit-related services, of course, the tollway, as their primary objective. However, the IT audit section is focused on data analysis and support for determining control risk around the key information systems here at the tollway, as well as the overall view of information technology throughout the organization. As a department, as we receive additional training, certifications, and experience, we of course will continue to add value-added services to the tollway through our internal audit activity. I'll also highlight, in regard to our resources, that our construction auditor, which is budgeted for 2015, is something that we definitely plan to pursue. During 2014, we utilized the services of a construction practices audit firm, which I'll actually talk about later in my presentation. document for our internal audit department is our charter. The charter actually is required by the standards for the professional practice of internal auditing, and it actually states the purpose, authority, and responsibility of our internal audit activity. The charter establishes audit position within the organization, and authorized, gives us the authorization to access records, access to personnel, and physical properties relevant to the performance of various engagements that we conduct throughout the year. And it actually defines the scope of our work. Without an agreed upon charter, there's a risk that conflicts may occur due to unclear requirements and authorities. Annually, we review the charter for the department to ensure that there aren't any required updates. And after our review at the end of this year, we have determined that there are some updates that would allow us to be more in line with the standards. There's some updates for clarification, elimination of some redundancies that were in the prior charter, and just to include some best practices. In addition to ensuring that there was appropriate language in there in communicating the acceptance of risk and other standards in the area of independence. With the conclusion of my presentation, I will also be seeking approval of the internal audit charter, which has been previously reviewed by the board. The audit committee. Another critical activity that occurred in 2014 is the peer review that I actually spent some time talking about in the last audit committee meeting. Once every 5 years, the internal audit department undergoes a quality assurance review, which looks at the effectiveness of our audit activity as required by FESHA. The results of that review were provided to us in October and approved by the State Internal Audit Advisory Board. But the actual work associated with that review, as I mentioned, occurred in September. The results of that activity indicated that internal audit activity generally conforms with the IAA standards, the code of ethics, the professional practice of internal auditing, as well as FESHA. I will indicate that the other ratings that are possible during this assessment are partially conforms and does not conform. And our last assessment was in 2009, where we had a partially conform rating, and of this year we were successful in obtaining the highest evaluation of, under this quality review, which is generally conform.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And special thanks to my department as well. It's great work, great work, great team. The next slide actually focuses on a construction activity audit that occurred over the last couple of years, and it's really the result of the tollway being in the midst of, the 15-year, $12 million Move on Oil program. And to ensure that the program is executed in an efficient and cost-effective manner, the tollway initiated an independent audit of construction practices in 2012. In 2013, they contracted with Gabang Construction Company, and the consultant team was comprised of engineering and construction professionals. The goals of the program included identification of benefits from lessons learned during the CRP program, also took a look at ensuring that we are getting what we paid for, and identification of best practices, and to ensure, of course, that the program is being executed with efficiency and cost effectiveness. Now, the firm's work, the construction firm's scope of work included three distinct phases. Those three phases included gathering data, analyzing that data, and then documenting findings and recommendations. So the scope then included, in order to accomplish those tasks that I identified, the firm took a look at our construction design manuals, and looked at our areas of emissions process, value engineering area. They also looked at our timely submission of authorizations to proceed. They looked at FERC's account work and contractor invoicing, as well as our contracting methods, and it included site observations, which our team partnered with the firm to accomplish in 2014. Now, based on the firm's review, they indicated that the overall quality of the tollway's contracting documents and processes is exemplary, and they see the tollway as a leader in the industry in this regard. They have also noted, as you see here on the slide, that proven construction methodologies were successfully implemented, that design management effectively executed. They acknowledge the state-of-the-art material tracking system here at the tollway. They also indicated that there are opportunities for improvement that I will be covering in the slides coming. They do not reflect major flaws, and the findings in themselves indicate that the tollway is getting what it's paying for.
So this was, you know, certainly a relief to see coming out of it, but obviously there's always room for improvement, which...
And just to slip back to that slide, that final point was really part of the impetus for doing the report. Are we really getting what we paid for? And I think everybody on the board felt extremely comfortable with the idea of going out to a third party and asking that question. It's hard. And as I remember, it was difficult to find an independent company that hadn't been involved with the tollway. So I really commend everybody first for supporting the idea. Christy and Paul, I think, recommended this, supporting the idea of doing this, but also finding a company that could do it and executing. And at least from this slide, it really shows that the fundamental operations are sound or better than sound, right? And I think the subsequent slides are indications of incremental changes that we might make in process. I don't mean to jump the gun on this, but having looked at this, I just want to underscore the importance of the summary of the findings before we get to some of these process points.
Yes, and the process points really represent opportunities for improvement for the tollway, and not necessarily issues that were particularly identified, but just opportunities to take